SF is looking for new volunteers to come in and make radio. No experience is necessary. You can learn to DJ, edit sound, produce news, make posters, and host your own show. Come out to a weekly station orientation to get involved. Orientation times can be found on our website at www.cjsf.ca.
Today on Wings.
Matriarchal societies, studies on indigenous cultures across the globe.
What is most important, I think, is that they don't have an economy of accumulation.
There's a river of birds in migration, a nation of women with wings.
Welcome to Wings, a series of news and current affairs programs by and about women around the world, produced and distributed by the Women's International News Gathering Service.
Dr. Heide Gettner-Abendroth, a German feminist, is a pioneering scholar in matriarchal studies. She received her doctorate in philosophy from the University of Munich. Her research is focused on culture and society, especially matriarchal societies. Among her many writings are The Dancing Goddess, Principles of a Matriarchal Aesthetic, and The Goddess and Her Heroes, which looks at the historical evidence for Indo-European matriarchal religions. In 1986, she founded the International Academy Hagia in Germany for matriarchal studies and matriarchal spirituality. She founded and guided the first two World Congresses on Matriarchal Studies in 2003 and 2005, as well as a major conference on matriarchal studies and politics in 2011. In 2013, Gettner-Abendroth toured North America to discuss the findings of her latest book, Matriarchal Societies, Studies on Indigenous Cultures Across the Globe. This 533-page book presents the results of Gettner-Abendroth's pioneering career-long research into matriarchal societies existing among indigenous cultures in Asia, Africa, and the Americas. The research is based on a new definition of matriarchy, not as rule by mothers or women in general, but as gender egalitarian and economically balanced societies, founded on maternal values such as nurturing and peacemaking. Matriarchal societies are typically organized around a clan structure. Matriarchies make political decisions by consensus and are characterized by nonviolence. Today, Wings presents an interview Dr. Gettner-Abendroth gave to Canadian documentary maker Kristen Schwartz.
Can you describe, please, the features that you would identify as key to matriarchal societies?
At first, I think it's a very interesting point that we can see matriarchal societies as not having violence against women and children. It's a very interesting point for us today in a world where violence is so much increasing, especially against women and children. But how do matriarchal society implement this? We cannot start from the wrong notion and idea of matriarchy as women's rule. This is the usual misinterpretation, which is completely wrong. I researched matriarchal societies for many years through all my life, and from existing matriarchal societies I could learn that it's a gender egalitarian society. They practice equality between the genders and respect between the generations. And equality between genders is not a formal thing as we have it here in our democracies, but the equality is implemented because each gender has its own sphere of action, its own sphere of economy, of social action. And then these different, two different spheres in these societies are combined in a mutual beneficial way. What makes them matriarchal is that the mothers are at the centers, not as rulers, but as the facilitators who keep the society together. For example, when they make their decisions, they do it in a consensus way, discussing their decisions in the clan houses, in the villages, and on the regional level, all by a system of complex councils, until a region has reached unanimity for each decision, or a clan house, or a village. And when you have these consensus-based societies in politics, a class and domination of one gender by the other and hierarchy cannot develop. And so everybody has its place and has its possibility to do, express his or her opinions, has the opportunity to take part in the councils and to bring all this together in a balanced way. So violence is not necessary in such a society. It's not necessary. You are always active in all these affairs, be it in your clan house or be it in your village or be it in your region. You are an active part in all the things which are done there, politics, economics, and cultural things. What is most important, I think, is that they don't have an economy of accumulation. The economy is one that is based on leveling different levels of wealth, which can occur by good luck with a harvest or good luck with a trade. Then they have a wonderful principle to balance this wealth, for when they have their many annual festivals, those who are better off with their wealth are the one who invites the whole community, and they make the festival for everyone, and they give away the wealth in a gift-giving way. So they support each other in this way. So you don't have really poor people and you don't have really rich people, for this distribution and circulation of wealth as gifts among each other keeps them on an equal level, also economically. And so another reason for violence is not there. You have not the economic tensions between groups or between individuals, which very often occurs violence in our societies. So they have no need to be violent, especially not against women and children. Maybe that men sometimes quarrel with each other, but this is not very serious. But women are very much respected, and mothers are so much respected, and the mothers are the facilitator of these societies and keep all this net of balancing the things economically and politically. They keep it together. So when I say mothers are at the center, it doesn't mean that they rule. It means that they keep this horizontal society, which equal distribution of wealth and consensus finding in politics, together. What is very important in this society, these are the critical criteria, the most important criteria. These are societies which are based on matrilineality. All titles and names are given in the mother's line. And that the mothers, or the women and the mothers, are the contributors of the food and of the basic things you need for life. And they are the contributors equally to all the clan members who are in this network with them. But the role of the mother is one that cares for everybody, cares for the society, and cares for keeping the balance. So the mothers are very much respected, and they are the ones who consciously keep up not only balance, but peace building. And peace building is a value which is followed by everybody in this society. And violence is the opposite of peace building.
As we look at the kinds of societies that you have researched historically and in the current day, we can see that they're very locally oriented, generally based on local agriculture. Do you have thoughts about how to apply some of those lessons and values that you see in those societies in our world, which has become not local, where production is spread across continents, where the patriarchal institutions have accumulated wealth from vast regions and try to control these large regions? What do you take from what you've learned about past and existing societies and think about how to apply that?
At first, I would like to say that these characteristics which I gave are from still existing matriarchal societies, which we can find all over the world, in the continents Asia, Africa, and the Americas. You cannot find out their ways, how they do politics or how they balance their wealth. You can't find this out from past matriarchal societies. We have only relics and some myths of past matriarch society, which gives us glimpses, but we cannot find out the whole functioning of such and such a society by archaeological or mythological remnants. It's not possible. Therefore, I focused with my research on still existing matriarchal society to find out the whole picture. And this whole picture is very fascinating and very interesting. When I'm describing it, sounds much better than the patriarchal society in which we are born. Yeah. But it doesn't mean that this is a paradise. These people also have problems and have to solve their problems, but they solve their problems in a different way. And they have different problems than patriarchal societies. They don't need violence, and they don't need to steal, and they don't need to murder to survive what is common in patriarchal societies. So I think this setting of social guidelines which they have is much better than patriarchal ones, even if people are humans like we are. You ask me, what's the vision how to implement these matriarchal guidelines in our modern world? At first, I would like to say they still exist in our modern world. In the indigenous cultures, all in these many continents, in these diverse continents which I mentioned, of course, they are under oppression from the patriarchal neighborhoods and centralized states, but they are still there. Otherwise, I could not have done this research and could not have found their very interesting ways of life. From the very beginning, I was thinking what we can learn from these very interesting societies. From the very beginning, of course, we cannot go back to a traditional matriarchal society because we are not agriculturalists. We live in a highly technical world. So what can we learn? At first, I would say our world is over-technified and it's over-organized, and it's all our units, our social use, are too big. And the patriarchal market tends to make it bigger and bigger by globalization. And with globalization, they don't take care about humans, they don't take care about nature, they don't take care about communities, about culture, nothing. Only globalization, the market. Globalize the market and globalize the money. This is the tendency we have today. And I think this is not a good tendency. So we should not look how we can change these big units, for these big units are too big and will not survive. They are big like dinosaurs, which didn't survive. And I think we have to come down to human-sized institutions and human-sized communities. And when I think about this, the best way is to go back to the regional level. We need new, flourishing, prosperous regions, for people know each other in region. A region can be bigger or can be smaller. It depends on cultural history and special boundaries of the landscape, what makes a region. And in a region, you can have a transparent policy, you can have good functioning neighborhoods, and you can have all the goods which are produced in a region will be enough for a region. We do not need to import our food from other continents of the world. If you are living in a region where people are creative and can do their agriculture and can do their technical work, then you can have all the things which we have in a region. We can even have a special kind of technology which we are accustomed to today. For the problem with technology today is not that we couldn't do it in a region. The problem is monopolizing it. They are all monopolized. But if these monopoles are dropped or are abandoned, then you can construct computers and internet and so on. You can have it all on a regional level. So I think when we start to think in a region, you can have your nourishment from the region, which is much better for nature. You can produce your high tech in the region, which is much better than monopolizing it. And you have your social context in a region, and you can do a relatively transparent policy in a region. So I'm an advocate for regionalism and not for big nation states and big superpowers and big superpowers. We don't need them. They are not human-sized, and they don't serve the humans. People, they don't serve the people. They only serve big business and big markets. This is one lesson we can learn from it. And I think another lesson is how we can implement consensus politics. Consensus politics is a true basic democracy. It's much more democratic than our former democracies. Yes, you can implement it on the regional level. And giving women a better role than they have, overcoming patriarchal role models, is also possible in the region. For in a region, you know each other to some extent, and you can do your politics in consensus. You can give everybody adequate place, and the role of women will be much better than it is in these huge super nations.
Do you have any comments about the role of women in the progressive social movements underway throughout the world? They're always underway, and women have played incredible roles in many of the socialist revolutions. What do you feel women should be striving for when they're working within those movements?
If we look in our what's happening in our present days, then you can find some matriarchal elements, as I call it, in alternative movements. For example, a new attitude towards nature in ecological movements, or a new understanding of women's importance in the feminist movements, or a new understanding of how to go on without war at any corner of the world in the peace movement, and so on. And we have very important and interesting movement is the communities movement, where people come together forming new communities like new clans living together to get rid of this isolation, of the individualistic isolation in which so many people are. There are many elements which, from the matriarchal perspective, I would name them matriarchal elements. Even if it's not conscious to these people, because they don't know the structure and the full picture of a matriarchal society, they don't have this in mind, that we can have a completely different type of society, of way of life in which people can live. But I'm in contact with several of these alternative movements. I'm a feminist, and I'm in contact with many friends of the community movement, and I have good contacts with people of the indigenous movements. And some are aware when we have dialogue. Some get awareness about the matriarchal underlying values they are fostering, and I make them aware about this. For it's much better to see a vision of a whole society which is completely different to patriarch society. It's better than only to have a little part of it, a part here and a part there. So the role of women, I think, this is a crucial point in many alternative movements. When I talk to people in community movements, I always ask, what's the role of women in your community? And I often learned that they have so many good ideas how to deal with money and deal with their land and deal with their community, but they have very little ideas how to change the roles, the traditional roles of men and women. And I think this is typical for a lot of alternative movements, even the socialist movements. In every of these alternative movements, women play an eminent role, but the place which is given to them does not correspond to this eminent work they do, very often. So I think a new matriarchal movement, which could include all these elements, should be initiated and led by women. The point is that most of these alternative movements have been created and led by men. And, of course, these are not the usual type of men, and they reflect a lot of what they are doing, but they don't go far enough. They stop at the crucial point about men's and women's roles. And I think also women have no deep ideas about their very important role. So there is much to be done there. And especially, we take the example of the socialist movement. It was supported by so many women, and so many interesting and strong women worked in it. And in the end, when they took over the power, what happened? Women were reduced to the traditional marginal role. We saw this in many examples. And this has to be changed. And this can change only if we take seriously the patterns of matriarch societies, where women are at the center and create society and create the balance and create all this networking for what is very important there for us, say women and mothers at the center means that the people act according to maternal values and not to values of, yes, the alternative values are also very good, but they don't go far enough. When you have women at the center, especially mother at the center, and everybody follows maternal values, which are caretaking, nurturing, peace building, and caring for the needs instead of caring for status and wealth, these are maternal values. And in matriarch societies, they come from the mothers. The mother is a prototype for this attitude. They come from the mothers, and everybody in a matriarch society follows these values. Mothers and the women who are not mothers, and women and men alike. So that is much more important than if men are founding alternative movements, at some special step they find themselves or define themselves at the center, and women are marginalized. And this must be changed. For when women are at the center, they never marginalize men according to matriarchal values and principles, but they integrate men on the level of equality and the level of mutual respect. And this is a big difference when you compare it with the alternative movements, how they are going on today.
I just have one last question, and it concerns the statement that you made at the outset about the different roles or spheres for women and men. I'm wondering if you can say a bit more about that. There's a lot of talk in the sort of Western feminist tradition around avoiding biological determinism and being concerned about slotting people in particular roles according to gender. So if you could address that concern, and also you basically talked about maternal values as something that's not exclusive to biological mothers, right? But if you could expand on that, the concern that people might have about talking about different roles.
You see, what is very interesting in these maternal values are values which everybody follows. So, and it's not an essentialist system, not at all. For what is very interesting, they don't define what is a woman and what is a man according to the sex. This is our way to define women and men, and we have a lot of rebellion against these fixed roles. In matriarch society, they define what is a woman and a man according to the action sphere and the sphere of work. These societies have always two halves. One half is the action sphere of women, the other the action sphere of men. And what is a woman or is a man, you can see from the action sphere, not simply from the sex. So you have the interesting situation in these societies that if a boy wants to live as a girl, then he is respected in his wish, he dresses like a girl, and when he's grown up, he's working in the women's sphere and is respected as a woman. And if you, vice versa, with a girl who wants to be a boy and later a man, she is working in the male action sphere, and so she is respected as a man. You see, this role, and there's no problem with them. It's very easy. It's never a problem, no problem. And they do not need fights against forced heterosexuality and forced role models. They don't need it because this is an individual choice. So what's not changed are the action spheres, because this society is based on these dual action spheres, which is defined as male or female, but this also is not fixed. In some societies, it's just the action spheres are just the opposite of the other one. I give you an example. In the city of Juchitán in Mexico, which is organized matriarchally, women are the traders and even to far distant trades, and men do the agricultural work. So this is their action sphere, combined with rituals, combined with special things and so on. But this is not essentialist way, for in another society, for example, the Mozo in southwest China, where I did research, the men are the traders and do the far distant trade, and the women are the agriculturalists. You can have even matriarch societies which are close by and have a completely different set which is defined as male and as female. In a special society, this cannot be changed, otherwise society would lose its balance. It's following a principle of balance. But the individual, boy or girl, can decide in which sphere she or he want to be. So they don't have these problems with essentialism and biological roles. Even if I say mothers are at the center, you must not be a biological mother to be respected as a woman or a mother, for they have the idea and the practice of common motherhood of sisters. So if in a clan house there are five sisters and one or two have three children, every one of these sisters is called mother of these children. This is a common motherhood. So you see, they don't deal with it in an essentialist way. It's more a symbolic way, for this common motherhood gives every woman the respected title to be mother, and every woman, because they do the work together, is free to choose her profession or her work as she wants. I think matriarchal women would find it horrible that in our society one woman alone should work, should have children, should care for a husband. It's horrible for them. They would never choose them. This is the true essentialism for them.
Thank you very much. Is there anything else that you'd really want to say? Is there any point that we haven't sort of addressed that's really important to you?
I would like to give much more of my knowledge to interested women and men if they want to learn from matriarch societies. For me, it was a lifelong learning from these societies. And for me personally, it was also recognizing more and more of what patriarchal patterns all are. It's not only the institutions and the military and so on. It's much more the way how we feel, the way how we look and conceive the world. All is, we are so educated in such a deep patriarchal way, conditioned. We are conditioned in this way. So it was for me a very long learning process, not only about matriarchal societies, but also about all the internalized patriarchal patterns which we take as normal and as business as usual. Yeah? And I had the privileged situation that I could recognize this and try to get rid of this more and more and more. And I think for me it gave me new energy, and it was really a healing process. And I would like that many women and men who are raised in patriarchy and suffering from these patterns could learn and find a new consciousness and find a new energy by learning from matriarch societies.
You've been listening to Dr. Haida Gettner-Abendroth talking about the characteristics of matriarchal societies. Dr. Gettner-Abendroth is the author of Matriarchal Societies, Studies on Indigenous Cultures Around the Globe. It's published by Peter Lang International Academic Publishers. This recording was contributed by Kristen Schwartz, a community-based radio broadcaster in Toronto. Kristen interviewed Dr. Gettner-Abendroth for the radio documentary Women, the Oppressed Majority. Wings thanks Kristen Schwartz for use of the sound. I'm Kelia Ramirez-Watson in Berkeley, California.
Since this interview was recorded, Dr. Haida Gettner-Abendroth released a new book, Matriarchal Societies of the Past and the Rise of Patriarchy in West Asia and Europe. You can hear her discuss that project under special events on the website maternalgifteconomymovement.org. Wings thanks all our supporters, including your local community radio stations, Suzette Cullen, and Genevieve Vaughn, author of many works on the gift economy and host of the series of salons and special events at maternalgifteconomymovement.org. To hear this and other Wings programs again, email wings@wings.org and visit our daily women's news feed at facebook.com/wingsradio. The Wings sound logo is from Libana's album A Circle is Cast. This is the Women's International News Gathering Service.
The FCAT After School Podcast is back for its third season.
Starting January 10th, you'll hear interviews and profiles from Simon Fraser University's Faculty of Communication, Art, and Technology alumni with lives lived and stories to tell.
Subscribe to the FCAT After School Podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll be sending a new episode down your feed every other Wednesday starting January 10th.
Or catch us on 90.1 FM CJSF every Tuesday at 4 p.m. starting January 16th.
You're listening to CJ.